Good morning, everybody. It's time for our two Bible readings. Our first reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, from verse 22, and that is on page 880 of your black Bibles. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who we saw before, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Our second reading is from the book of Hebrews, from the beginning of chapter 11, and that's on page 1033. Very, very famous passage. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. Indeed, this is the word of the Lord. And will you keep your Bibles open there, because we're going to be referring to them as we go along this morning. So welcome to you. As Josh mentioned, my name is Jeff. I'm known mostly to the 8 a.m.ers. We do sneak into 10, and then also at Kirribilli. So I came on my Vespa scooter this morning because I'm shooting off to do the same at our 10 o'clock service at Kirribilli. So will you excuse me? I'm not being rude. I'd love to meet more of you, but duty calls. But we love what we do. We love being part of this team. We love being part of this church. Do you? So here we are this morning. You had a kind of a preview. Did you notice they used me as the model in that? They looked for an old man that looked like Simeon. So I was part of that video this morning. You saw me there. So that's a kind of a summary of what you're going to hear in our sermon this morning. But what was for the children is for us too, because hey, we're called to have that childlike faith and to hear God speak into our lives. And so it's all about faith today. And thank you, Chris, for emphasizing that in our readings this morning. Well, we have been doing a lot of singing, haven't we? We've been singing Christmas carols, and we've been singing many worship songs, and we've been looking at some of the songs that we find, the song of Mary, the song of Zechariah, the song of angels, and today the song of Simeon. I hadn't really heard much about that, and I love preparing for today. We don't know what he called his song, but we're going to call it The Eyes of Faith, The Eyes of Faith. So that's what we're looking at this morning. And so we come to the last Sunday of the year. And it's always appropriate, it's always good to look back and to look forward. Yes, that's a predictable thing for a preacher to say, but it's valid, isn't it? Because as we look back to acknowledging that we have a faithful God. And God is full of all his wonderful benefits and his promises, and he's been true to those. And so today we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness as we look back. And thank you, Lord, that you will not change, because as we look forward, he will continue to be faithful. And today the challenge is for us to be faith-filled, filled with faith as we depend upon, as we devote ourselves to the Lord. But we are real people in a real world. So I wonder for you this morning, what are you carrying? What will you carry from this year into next year? What are you hoping for? What are you praying for? What are you waiting for? What do you need faith for? What do you need faith for? How often do we say, I need faith for this? I need to have God's guidance in this area of my life. And today we're going to look about how we can strengthen our eyes of faith. Our eyes of faith. And as we read that first verse of Hebrews 11, that's often difficult for us to practice, because it says now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. Why is that difficult for us to practice? Why? Because faith is more than just believing, it's also trusting. It's trusting our very lives in what we believe and in whom we believe. Just on Christmas Day, we were up in the Blue Mountains and looking over a steep gorge or valley. Can you picture someone saying, well, I'm going to put a tightrope across there and I'm going to walk? We can believe that. We can see that someone could walk on a tightrope across a deep valley. But would we be willing to trust that person to carry us along with them? Could you trust somebody for that? But how about our faith in God? Are we willing to trust God with every dimension of our lives? Are we willing to be guided by his word and his spirit? Are we willing to patiently wait, even endure opposition or doubt, to do so because we are so sure of what we believe is true and trustworthy? And of course, we know that waiting is never easy. The longer we wait, the harder it is to maintain a sense of hope and anticipation. So that's who we are. What can we learn from Simeon and his eyes of faith? Now, we're not told, we're not given Simeon's age, but indications are that he was approaching the end of his life. And he had waited a lifetime. Indeed, Israel had waited for centuries. For Israel as a nation, for individuals like Simeon, keeping the hope alive would not have been easy. Their big question was, when will the Messiah appear? When would the promised Messiah appear? And some had given up, but not Simeon. Simeon had not given up. And why? Because his expectation and hope were born out of his faith. A deep, spiritual, God-centered faith. So let's have a look into this, because this is so important. This is so helpful for us as we head into a new year. Let's take a closer look at our passage. Let's look at God's word and what it tells us about developing true spiritual faith. And this morning, I'd like you to join me as we consider five dimensions of spiritual faith. Firstly, spiritual dependence. Secondly, spiritual discernment. Thirdly, spiritual living, spiritual encouragement. And then finally, spiritual questions. Are you ready to go? Firstly, then, let's look at spiritual dependence. So, friends, what was the key? What was the key to unlocking the door of faith, expectation, and hope for Simeon? What was the key for him? And the answer is, he had a close walk and relationship with God. The key to unlocking the door of faith and expectation and hope for Simeon was his close walk and relationship with God. Look down at verse 25. What did it say? He was righteous, he was devout, he was carefully observing the divine law. Yet more importantly, the second part of verse 25 said the Holy Spirit was on him. Or as the New Living Translation says, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And as that little video reminded us of it, this was true of people especially selected by God to prophetically proclaim and accomplish his purposes. And of course, this was prior to the promise and the fulfillment of God pouring out his Spirit at Pentecost. The wonderful Holy Spirit that is here for us, upon which we can depend, with whom we should continue to be filled, as we read in and we know in Ephesians 5, and continue to be keep in spirit with the Holy Spirit. And so here's the first dimension of spiritual faith. It's a spiritual dependence which comes from the Holy Spirit, and which is necessary for the second dimension, which is spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. Because look down at verse 26. It says this: it had been revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. It was revealed to him. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. And yes, Simeon's expectation and hope were born out of his faith, and this out of a direct revelation from the Holy Spirit. And now, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he realizes that the long-awaited time has come. And he bursts out into praise, in language containing many Old Testament references, especially from Isaiah. Why? Because he knew his scriptures, and the scriptures were being fulfilled, and he used those scriptures to proclaim and to praise the name of the Lord. And thus far, the emphasis had been on the Savior of Israel. Now, under the prophetic influence of the Isaiah passages, a new emphasis emerges. Because Jesus is not just for Israel, but for the whole world. And Luke is building a picture of a Messiah, a Savior, who transcends social and national boundaries. It's a gospel for everyone. And so let's take a closer look. Let's dig a little deeper. Can you picture the scene? We had the video that helps us, but can you picture the scene? Moved by the Holy Spirit, Simeon enters the temple courts at the precise moment that Joseph and Mary are there with their baby son. Not a coincidence. This was what God was doing. And he moved Simeon towards that moment. And Simeon has the spiritual discernment to recognize that this baby is Jesus. He then takes him up in his arms, and it was more than just for a cuddle. We know what it's like to cuddle a little baby, but it was a symbolic gesture of recognition. A recognition, a declaration of who Jesus is, why he had come, and what impact he would have. And so that through those prophetic eyes of faith, Simeon saw three things. Did you notice that in the passage? Simeon saw three things. Firstly, Jesus as the salvation of God, Jesus as the light of the world, and Jesus as the cause of division. Let's take those one at a time. Firstly, he saw Jesus as the salvation of God. There it is in verse 30. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." Yes, what Simeon's physical eyes had actually seen was Mary's child. Yet what Simeon's eyes of faith had seen was God's salvation, the Messiah God sent to free mankind from the bondage of sin. And to see Jesus is to see God's salvation. And God's salvation is for all people, for all nations. That's the first feature that Simeon saw, Jesus as the salvation of God. Secondly, he saw Jesus as the light of the world. Jesus would both enlighten the nations and he would bring glory to Israel. He would be the light of the world. And so Simeon draws again from the prophetic words of Isaiah 49, verse 6, when he declares Jesus in verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And so for the Gentiles, he would be light. He would be a revelation, referring to him shining into the darkness of the world, referring to his opening up a way of salvation to the nations in a way unknown before his coming. That was for the Gentiles, for Israel, for God's people. Jesus is glory. He represents the realization of promises made by God, thus sharing Israel's special place in his heart. And that's what Luke is wanting his readers to grasp, to understand, that Christ had come to save all who believe, Gentiles as well as Jews. It's how the Apostle John opens his gospel as he declares Jesus to be the light of the world. Again, familiar words, but they speak about this wonderful light of the world. John 1, verse 4 says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to the world was coming into the world. John knew it. He declared it. Simeon saw it. And Simeon saw Jesus as the salvation of God. He saw him as the light for the world. Don't you love verse 33? Simeon, having declared that, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. They were glowing. You know those times when you would be sitting watching a child or a grandchild or someone that you know, and they're up on the platform and they're doing something special. You just glow. You're so proud of them. That's the kind of picture we've got there. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. But there was a third thing which we must notice, which he says there in verse 34 and verse 35, that Jesus would be a cause for division. 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Oh, that would have been heavy for them to hear. But through the eyes of faith, Simeon saw Jesus as a cause of division, a rock that some would stumble over, yet a rock that others would build on. He would cause some to rise and others to fall. Why would that be? Because the truth is just this, that confronted by Jesus, neutrality is impossible. Confronted by Jesus, neutrality is impossible. We have to decide one way or the other. It will cause some to rise, it will cause others to fall. And so with Jesus, there would be no neutral ground. People would either joyfully accept him or they would totally reject him. And so we can imagine Jesus' mother Mary would have been grieved by the widespread rejection that he would face. And here we have the first account of sorrow in Luke's gospel, just a reminder that the road to promise fulfillment is not always an easy journey. And Simeon's reference to a sword piercing Mary's soul is significant because the days would come when she would witness all that Jesus would have to endure, all the opposition, the false testimony, his suffering, and his death on the cross. And then for those who declare to be disciples of Christ, this reference to a sword piercing the soul shows that identifying with Jesus will have painful personal consequences. There's suffering involved. So this is what Simeon saw: the salvation of God, the light of the world, the cause of division. That was the spiritual discernment that he was given. Let's look thirdly then. We're talking about our spiritual faith, growing our spiritual growth of faith, our eyes of faith. Let's look at what that means in terms of our spiritual living. And will you turn back to that chapter in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 11, our tandem passage for this morning, because it speaks about people. And we are people, so we can relate. I love the Bible for many reasons, but this is a great one because it speaks about individuals, because it speaks about faith, being the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, I can see there, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. If we look back at our passages in Luke 1 and 2, we could add Mary, we could add Elizabeth, we could add Zechariah, and today we're adding Simeon. And of course, there are many others. And so what can we learn from them? How do we live out our spiritual faith? What does spiritual faith look like for us today? Well, the answer is just over the page in our Bibles. Again, well known, but so important for us to be reminded what we find in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, love that word. What has been said before, therefore, how do we respond? It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How do we do that? We fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How do we go about building spiritual faith? We look to Jesus. We fix our eyes of faith on him. What does that mean for you and for me? How does living for Jesus and loving like Jesus become a feature and a priority of our lives? Here's the answer. Friends, it starts and it matures in that personal, daily, intimate time and space with God. Did you get that? That's my encouragement for you today as we grow in our faith, it starts with our personal time with God every day. Personal, daily, intimate time and space with God. Our daily devotional time, reading God's word, praying, responding, and committing our way to Him every day. It starts there. Yes, we are encouraged on Sundays. Yes, we are encouraged as we listen to a worship song. Yes, we are encouraged as we listen to a talk. But it starts with our personal relationship with God. That's what spiritual living that leads to spiritual faith is all about. How do I remember that? I'm not as old as Simeon, but I remember that by using my hand and letters that rhyme. How do we grow in our faith? How do we live in our faith? We live out our faith by being fathered by God, by following Jesus, by being filled with the Spirit, by being fed by the Word, and by being fueled by prayer. By being fathered by God, gratefully receiving and being encouraged by His many expressions of love and grace and guidance and provision. Following Jesus, His being, His example, His devotion. Being filled with the Spirit to seek and to receive and to allow on an ongoing basis. To be fueled by prayer, regular, intentional, Spirit-prompted, comprehensive, trusting prayer, and to be fed by the Word, to allow God to speak into our lives, to soak in the Scriptures through regular study, meditation, and memorization. That's what it means to grow in our spiritual lives. I've got two bonus ones as well, because it makes up the week as well. So as we are fathered by God, as we are following Jesus, as we are filled with the Spirit, as we are fueled by prayer, as we are fed with the Word, we need to fulfill our role, to identify and develop and exercise our gifts in ministry. That's what it means to live out our faith, and then the beauty of fellowship with believers, to encourage and build each other up. That's spiritual living. Can I encourage you in that? And it leads us to our fourth dimension, that is spiritual encouragement. Spiritual encouragement, because although Simon was very old, he never lost his hope that he would see the Messiah. And so led by the Holy Spirit, he was among the first to bear witness to Jesus. And humanly speaking, Simeon had only seen a newborn baby, but with the eyes of faith, he could see something much more. Because he knew that God's glorious plans and purposes of salvation were underway and that they were completely secure and unbreakable. And with that vision, with that assurance, he could let go. He didn't need to cling on to this life anymore. Did you see what it said there in verse 29? It says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." And friends, this is the great encouragement for us. If we believe and trust in Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we too have seen and received Him with eyes of faith. If you and I believe and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we too, we can let go. We can be assured knowing our forgiveness, our salvation is guaranteed, our security, our eternity is secure. If we believe and trust in Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we too can be an encouragement to others, especially those of us who can testify to many years of God's faithfulness. As we share our wisdom and our experience, our love and our friendship with those who are newer on the journey of faith. It's God's wonderful desire for us. It's His design for us as His people that we ourselves be encouraged and we be an encouragement to others. The eyes of faith come through spiritual dependence, spiritual discernment, spiritual living, spiritual encouragement. Can I conclude with some spiritual questions? Here's some questions to you and me. May I ask you personally this morning, how are you doing? How are you doing spiritually? How would you describe your relationship with God? How would you describe your daily walk with Him? How would you describe your devotion and love for God? How are you doing with your eyes of faith? Are you like Simeon? You see Jesus as the salvation of God, the light of the world, a cause of division. And yet maybe you're saying, yes, I do, but I haven't taken that step. Well, you can do that today. We'll pray in a moment. You can say yes to Jesus and receive the invitation and promise that comes from him. Maybe you're one, as you've been hearing today, you're just hearing God in his gracious and tender way saying, draw near to me. Allow me to fill you with that fresh longing and desire to truly put me first. Can we ask and allow God to guide and encourage us as he longs to do, as he loves to do through his word and his spirit? And so for Simeon, can we be like him, to be people of praise, people with eyes of faith, people who are full of hope and peace and joy as we fix and keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith? Let's pray together. I'm going to invite the band to come up, but would you join me as we just pray together, as we reflect on what God has said to us today? Perhaps you're one and you're saying, I'm yet to truly believe in Jesus and to trust in him as my Lord and my Savior. Well, you can just in a simple way today say, Lord, yes, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I believe in you. I want you to be number one in my life. I'm saying yes to you today. He invites you. He receives you. Maybe you've been one who has just been wandering a little bit, and you want to draw back, and you truly want to live with eyes of faith, to know that you are putting God first in your life. And whatever you face in the coming year, that you know that you're not going alone, that you can rest in our wonderful God. And Lord, till we come, thank you for your word. Thank you for a time to be encouraged, to take the example of those who've gone before us, and with them, and with all believers, to fix our eyes upon you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.